Welcome to Chicks Who Fly, a podcast dedicated to women pilots and women in aviation. My name is Anaya and I am your host. I am a vocalist, DJ, producer, digital nomad, and a pilot. I have decided to stay active in the aviation community by doing this podcast, among other things. I plan to interview and feature women pilots and women in aviation and share their aviation love stories with you, as well as the ups and downs that they decide to share. This week, I'm going to try something a little different here on Chicks Who Fly. I am trying to get better about getting consistent content to you guys every week. I want to get you guys quality content that makes a difference for you and that you're interested in. And I want to find a way that is feasible with my crazy life to be able to do that. So today I'm going to take some time to answer some of the questions that I get from a lot of you guys about my own process and my own training. I hope that if you've listened to a few of these episodes, you're not too sick of certain details of my story, but I wanted to put it out there in a complete and congruent way so that perhaps it could make a difference for someone. Maybe it could inspire somebody the way other people's stories inspired me. If you are enjoying this podcast, please consider following, liking, sharing, subscribing, and perhaps checking out our Patreon page at Chicks Who Fly. Also, feel free to visit us and connect with us on our website, chickswhofly.com, and you can reach us by email at chickswhoflyofficial@gmail.com. So without further ado, I'm going to dive right in. The first question that I get is how I became interested in aviation. Well, I was always interested in aviation. I just never knew it was a possibility for me. I grew up on an island where the only way to get anywhere new and exciting was to fly. My grandmother, who I adored and I was very close to, she had a huge passion for travel and for education, and she really instilled that in me and in my cousins. And she also made sure that I had a really exciting and enjoyable time the first times I ever got on an airplane. It was amazing, and I was hooked from the first time. I remember it might have been my first flight ever when I was like 5 or so. I remember the pilot started descending into the airport that we were going to. It wasn't very smooth. It was kind of a steep descent. And I remember telling my mom, I'm falling upwards. It was entertaining. And well, now, of course, I do a lot of that in my own airplane. My grandmother had a huge passion for it. She transferred it to me. And it never crossed my mind that it was even a possibility. I never thought of it. It was just never even a thought. What was a thought was being a flight attendant. I used to always tell my cousin that we were going to grow up and be flight attendants because I wanted to be flying all the time. And I just had no clue that being a pilot was a possibility for me. So I built a career that allowed me to travel the world. I was a professional singer and I used to sing jazz and Latin and Brazilian jazz in 5-star hotels, mostly in Asia, a little bit in Europe and South America. So I got to see the world and experience all these different cultures and countries and sing music I loved in beautiful venues. It was great. And in 2008, that industry took a really hard hit and the hotel started hiring talent from other countries where there were incredibly talented people, but where the dollar goes 10 times as far. And it just stopped being worth it for me. At that point, I had learned to DJ and produce music, and I just had moved to Los Angeles. I started working locally, and I was working a lot. It honestly wasn't fun anymore. So I started considering what else I could do, and I started driving for Lyft and Uber on the side. And while I was doing that, Firstly, my husband suggested I consider flight training, and I just thought that was harebrained. But then I had two different pilots in my car. One was a young man who was a private pilot, a freshly minted private pilot, who flew to Santa Monica from Long Beach during rush hour in like 30 minutes. And that was incredibly appealing in Los Angeles. And I also had this young woman who was a pilot who loved her career and was super generous, sharing her experience and a lot of information. And she started giving me a little guidance. After she got out of my car, I immediately the next day found a flight school through some friends. I asked around. My friends pointed me to a flight school that was at the Santa Monica Airport, which was 5 minutes from my apartment. And I made an appointment. I went in, I spoke with the owner of the flight school, who was super gracious. He showed me all the aircraft, taught me a few things. He really went out of his way to show me how possible it was for me to complete my pilot training and pivot in my career yet again. So I decided that I really wanted to do that. And maybe a week or two later, the owner of the flight school called me and invited me to go with him on a flight. He had changed out the magnetos on one of his Cirrus aircraft, and he was gonna fly it and test it out. So he flew me to Santa Barbara. We had lunch and then we flew back. And I was seriously hooked. At that point, I knew I had to do it, and I started getting a real sense of urgency about it. So I started looking around for ways that I could complete it, even though the cost of living and of flight training in Los Angeles was a challenge. I convinced my husband to move to Palm Springs, where the cost of living was a lot more manageable. The cost of flying was more manageable, and I could still commute to Los Angeles to do a lot of my beautiful hotel gigs, and I also got some local gigs in Palm Springs. We created an Airbnb in our second bedroom, and I was working during the day at a small general aviation airport in Bermuda Dunes. Everything was set. I started scheduling all my flight lessons, and suddenly COVID hits, the BNP tennis tournament gets canceled, Coachella and Stagecoach get canceled, and everything shut down. All our gigs went away. Our Airbnb went from 100% booked to 100% canceled, and I told my husband that I thought we should ask to be let out of our lease and buy whatever trailer our current car could pull and move into it so that we could focus on the things that were important to us. And he said yes, and that's what we did. We bought a 17-foot travel trailer. We remodeled the living poop out of it, and it was gorgeous. It was tiny, but it had everything that we needed for our lives, and the entire world was our backyard, so we never really suffered the small space. We headed out through Arizona. We spent a couple months setting ourselves up, as well as resting and recovering from the trauma of these intense and total life changes. And then we made our way to Santa Fe, where I started flying three times a week for 2 months with Christy McFadden, who was an amazing flight instructor. And I met her when I interviewed her on the second ever episode of Chicks Who Fly. Now, Christy is flying jets in Texas. So she's come a long way, I've come a long way, and I'm really happy for both of us. When I was in Santa Fe, we were trying to get me to solo, but the winds in Santa Fe and the density altitude, which affects your airplane performance, was very high, and it was very challenging, and we tried to get me to solo, and Christy got me to the point where I was ready for my solo, but when she tried to solo me, the winds were about 35 knots, I believe, which was definitely a lot more than any student pilot should go out and do their first solo flight in. And we continued on to Florida because we were planning to buy a sailboat to live aboard. And I knew there was a lot of aviation in Florida and I would just have to finish there. So once we got to Florida, I flew a couple times with another female CFI who was great, and she was going to solo me, and somebody else took the plane out and flew it and hit a bird. And unfortunately, it was a small flight school in Fort Lauderdale Executive Airport, and they did not have another airplane of that exact kind and price. And I decided to table it for that moment because the CFI that was teaching me there had just gotten a job with UPS and she was taking off. I took a quick pause, we purchased our boat, and after that I found Fernando Mendez in Miami, and he is the person who took me through the home stretch to my solo and to my check ride. So all in all, it took me a little over 2 years to get my private pilot certificate because of my personal financial challenges at that time, and also because of all the extra challenges of every kind that COVID brought. And that's actually the second question that I have written down to answer here, which was, how long did it take to get my private pilot certificate? So the funny thing is, when you take your FAA knowledge exam, the written test, you have 2 years before it expires. My check ride with Fernando was scheduled for the day before my exam was going to expire. And on that day, I did some solo cross-country flying that I needed to do before my check ride the next day. So I flew from Tamiami to Marathon Key. It was a spectacularly gorgeous flight, amazing experience. But when I turned around to come back to Tamiami, I was met with a huge wall of clouds. I started descending to see how low the clouds went, and I think I was at about 800 feet above ground level when I realized I was socked in. I turned the airplane around and landed in Marathon. So I got stuck there for about 4 hours, and I was not able to go over the maneuvers and different landings that I wanted to have fresh for the check ride the next day. So therefore, I didn't feel ready, and I ended up having to push back my check ride, which by definition meant I had to take my written exam again, which I did. I got a 92, which I was kind of disappointed in, which is stupid. As long as you get a 70 and you pass, it's all that matters. But I did it, and then we scheduled the check ride again, and I passed, obviously, and now I'm a private pilot, and I was 48 when I got my private pilot certificate. The next question I'm getting a lot is, what were some of the best and some of the most challenging things about flight training for me? So the best things were the cross-country flights. One really memorable one was I went from North Las Vegas to Grand Canyon West with an instructor. It was one of the most spectacular flights. My husband was in the back seat. It was an incredible experience, and the CFI, Alejandra, who was the first person I ever interviewed on Chicksu Fly, did a fantastic job. We had so much fun. It was actually my birthday, and that is definitely one of the most memorable flights. And some of the other ones are the solo cross countries that I did here in Florida, both to Marathon Key several times and also to Marco Island, which was really gorgeous. The most challenging parts of my flight training were honestly mental. When you start flying, everybody tells you how hard landing is, how hard weight and balance is, whatever things are. And then I found, now in retrospect, that subconsciously I was finding ways to make those things more challenging than they really were, because I kind of thought they were supposed to be hard because that's what everybody said. When what I should have done was do some mindset work and realize how capable I was. And I think I would have gotten my private pilot certificate way quicker if I had taken the time to do some mindset work and address some of the mental blocks that I was struggling with during my flight training. But at the end of the day, all of flight training has been an incredible experience. Hard parts, parts where you get tired and it's kind of like a chore to fly the airplane. Other times when it's all fresh and exciting and every tiny little thing is incredible. And in the end, it's really all worth it. The next question is, what was my first solo like? Well, my first solo finally happened after, I think it was 8 times scheduling it. Fernando chose a very early, calm, windless morning in Tamiami Airport. I came in, we did a few laps around the pattern together, and then he, of course, told me to taxi over to the parking area and drop him off and go do my solo. And off I went. At that point, I had like 80 hours. I was very well trained, so I barely noticed that my instructor was not in the airplane. I had 3 really beautiful landings, great takeoffs, everything was smooth, my radio communication was smooth. I was really ready thanks to all the incredible training that I got. The one funny thing that happened on my solo was that after my first landing, when I was cleaning up the airplane and taxiing back for my second takeoff and landing, ATC told me, cleared for takeoff, no delay. So I lined up and gave the airplane full power, and I started rolling, and like almost immediately my airplane went like poof, and it lifted off. And that's when I realized, in my haste to take off with no delay, I left all the flaps down. So I did what I was trained to do. I pushed the nose forward, I stayed in ground effect and picked up some more airspeed. While I started climbing, I started gradually taking out the flaps. And then I did another beautiful lap around the pattern and another beautiful couple of landings, and that was my solo. It was really amazing, and it really gave me a whole next level of confidence in myself as a pilot. It was beautiful and it was great, and that was my solo. So the next question that I get a lot is, what was my check ride like? My check ride was great. Fernando got a great DPE, designated pilot examiner, to do my examination. We showed up at Tamiami Airport and we went to a conference room that my flight instructor reserved for us to do the oral portion of the check ride. For those of you that don't know, a check ride has an oral examination and then you do your flight portion, and at the end of it, if you pass everything, you are pronounced a private pilot. So the oral part went very smoothly. I had taken the written exam twice. I had been studying for years. I had great training. And I just really enjoyed the conversation with the designated pilot examiner. It was kind of like another episode of Chicks Who Fly. And when it came time to do the flight portion, it was pretty windy, so it was challenging because it was not a clear go, no go decision. It's my first time as pilot in command, and it's my first go, no go decision. At the end of the day, I decided to go because even though it was pretty windy, I was definitely capable of handling that kind of wind. And also, the wind was straight down the runway, and so my designated pilot examiner and I hopped in the airplane and did all the pre-flight and necessary things, and then we took off, and he had me do all the regular maneuvers that you have to do on your private pilot check ride, which are slow flight, power on stall, power off stall, steep turns, turns around a point, S turns, and a few different kinds of landings. We flew to another airport where We did a few of those. We flew back. He seemed to be impressed with how I was handling everything. In fact, at one point he told me that I looked like I was born to be behind the controls of the airplane, and that was really nice and really reassuring. And then when we landed and we were taxiing back, he said that it was his pleasure to pronounce me the FAA's newest private pilot, and it was a pretty exciting moment. And I don't think it sunk in for like days afterward. It started sinking in a little more that day when we went back into the building and did all the paperwork to actually put me in the system as a private pilot. And that was amazing. And lastly, the last question I'm going to answer today of the questions that I'm getting is, what now? So today I am recording this sitting inside my sailboat in Titusville, Florida. After I got my private pilot certificate, shortly after, my husband and I moved our boat to Titusville, Florida for hurricane season. Some of the things that I've been doing in the past 7 months since I became a private pilot is taking the time to do the things that I need to do to continue to become a competent and safe real world pilot. So the first order of business was getting checked out in an airplane, doing my first airplane checkout. And I decided to do that in Daytona. I posted in a women's flight training group and I connected with a flight instructor there who had a cancellation, and she fit me in and I ran over to the school. Her name is Lindsay Cosby, and I also interviewed her previously on Chicks Who Fly. She's now flying for the regionals. So she took me up. It was a little bit challenging in the Class Charlie airspace of Daytona Airport, and it was also a gorgeous flight, and it was kind of like a mini check ride where I had to do an emergency descent and stalls and steep turns and all that kind of thing. But it was also really fun flying with Lindsay. And another cool thing about that checkout was that this airplane had a G1000 for the avionics instead of a regular six-pack instruments. And the reason I did that was because Fernando, my last CFI as a private pilot, mentioned that for instrument training, sometimes work on the flight simulator translates better into the airplane when it's a G1000 because it's exactly the same avionics. And sometimes you catch on more quickly, and even though it's more expensive to rent an airplane that has a G1000, your training can be shorter, so it can therefore save you money. And when I save money, I can pursue more ratings and certificates. So I decided to do that, and it was really a great experience. Since then, I've also gotten checked out two other times in two different aircraft at a school here in Titusville. I got checked out in a Cessna 172 and also in a Cessna 150. It was a great way to get familiar with the local airspace and keep developing my skills to become a more competent and confident pilot. I also got my ground instructor rating, and I am starting to take ground school students pretty much for any rating except instrument, because I am still working on my instrument ground instructor rating, which is separate, but I do plan to have that soon, and I am working on that while I am working on my instrument rating. I think it's incredibly important to get your instrument rating as soon after your private pilot certificate as possible, because it just makes you that much safer and more competent. And that's what I am interested in. So the things that are next, my husband and I are planning to take our sailboat to the Caribbean and spend a little time in Puerto Rico. One of the reasons is because Puerto Rico is a territory of the United States, which means I might be able to do some more flight training while I'm there. I also have plans to do some flying with Debbie Nascimento, who is one of the other pilots that I've previously interviewed on this podcast. She is flying for Tradewinds, which is an airline that flies between all the islands and stuff over there, and she flies into St. Barts, which is pretty exciting because there are only about 200 or 300 pilots in the world with the qualifications to fly into St. Barts, and we talked about doing that together, and I'm super pumped for that, so I can't wait. And I'm hoping that by then I can also perhaps come back to Florida and purchase a small aircraft and fly it to Puerto Rico so that I have something to fly while we're there. So that's super exciting for me. I also would really like to get my seaplane rating, and I'm considering either getting my flight instructor certificate and instruct on seaplanes, because that feels like something really exciting and that I would really love. I'm also considering getting my airline transport pilot certificate, because even though I don't specifically have an interest in flying for airlines per se, I want to fly as proficiently and safely as they do in commercial aviation. So I want to keep developing myself and learning. And it just goes back to the passion that my grandmother instilled in me to constantly educate myself and better myself and to travel. That's what I'm up to. I'm traveling in my sailboat. I am developing myself as a pilot. I am teaching ground school, and I'm just loving being a part of the aviation community. So if you are considering this, if you have any questions, any topics that you want covered here, if you're already working on any of your certificates or ratings, please reach out to me on Instagram. I am at Nomadic Aviatrix, or on chickswhofly.com, or just send me an email at chickswhoflyofficial@gmail.com. I'd really love to be covering the topics that you guys are interested in learning about and continuing to share my aviation journey with all of you guys and with the world, and hopefully change the image that pops in people's head when somebody says the word pilot. And that concludes this episode of Chicks Who Fly. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. I hope that you have enjoyed these conversations as much as I enjoy creating them. Thank you for sharing your aviation love story with us. You can reach us at chickswhoflyofficial@gmail.com or visit our website, chickswhofly.com. Also, if you'd like to be a more intimate part of the creation of this podcast, please check out our Patreon, Chicks Who Fly, where you can support us for as little as $3 per creation. Thank you again so much for your time. We hope to see you next time here on Chicks Who Fly.